Coffee Mess. Celebrate your magic in the middle of life's messes. Hot, happy
mess.
I'm Zuri Hall, and this is Hot, happy mess.
Oh, shoot.
What is up? Happy Monday. If you're listening to this on a Monday, if you're not, you should, because that's when new episodes come out. I'm Zuri Hall and I'm your host. This is Hot Happy Mess. And today I would love if we, you and I, could chat about the real P word, the most important P word, emphasis on P, periods. Okay. I don't know that I've ever heard a conversation or listened to an episode of a podcast or even really watched a show where that is what is being talked about at length. I think there's been so much shame and taboo and stigma and just general weird around periods. And it's a little bit ridiculous considering like almost 50% of the population gets them and roughly 12 times a year. So I want to talk about periods today, and you are going to love the conversation that I have with two amazing ladies coming up in just a few minutes here. We are talking about everything from our first periods. I am giving all of my personal tea in the conversation this time. So you'll get the expert's goods. You'll also get all my business, too much, probably more than you care to know, but mi casa su casa, except life. So mi vida su vida. I'm going to tell you all my business is basically what I'm trying to tell you. So stay tuned for that. Okay. But just to tee it off, my first period, gosh, I was 12, probably going on 13. At the time, I felt like a late bloomer because I think all of my friends and the other kids in junior high, middle school, whatever you want to call it, they were getting it at like 11 and like early 12s. And so I was waiting for mine to come and was like, when am I going to get it so I can talk about it in the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom with everybody else after field hockey practice? Oh my God, what was my life? But anyways, and it wasn't coming. And so for a minute, I was kind of bummed because I just wanted to be in the know with all the girls. And then it came and I was like, actually, y'all can keep it. Like, I don't want any parts of this. I was ill-prepared. Me and my mom had certainly had general conversations about it. And she let me know something was on the way. But no one prepared me for like the ins and outs of this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it smells like. This is how you clean it up. This is where you put it. This is all the things, the stuff that is kind of shrouded in shame that I really hope we can start to normalize, not just for ourselves, because we're still dealing with them, right? But also for that next gen, for the next generation of young girls who are wrapping their minds and their bodies around their periods. So like I said, today we have two amazing women joining me to discuss how we can accept our periods, shed some light on the power of our periods, and also how to navigate those conversations with our kids. And a really fascinating, heartfelt plot twist that I wasn't expecting, but also the intersection of periods and altruism, activism, helping the people around us, particularly when it comes to homeless women dealing with this monthly occurrence that so many of us deal with. It was a really fascinating conversation. I loved everything they had to say. So without further ado, get ready for some TMI on my part and some gems dropped on theirs. It's time to talk about the real P word with Janelle and Shanisha. Here they are. This is the episode that I needed to hear forever ago, but we're bringing it to you. Thank us later. I have lovely ladies, Janelle and Shanisha, joining me to talk about all things period. We have Janelle King, who is a registered nurse with a master's degree in public health. Her clinical background includes HIV outreach, adolescent and teen medicine. And during her nursing career, she has spent many years educating young adults about reproductive and sexual health. Janelle is also an accomplished writer and has crafted content for numerous healthcare brands. So welcome, Janelle. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And we also have Shanisha Boswell. She is the founder of Black Moms Blog, which is a global platform that discusses parenting, culture, and lifestyle from a Black mom's point of view. She's also the author of the bestseller, Oh Sis, You're Pregnant, The Ultimate Guide to Black Pregnancy and Motherhood. I love that title. And her entrepreneurship is rooted in helping Black women heal through her self-care retreats, books, and articles focused on motherhood and womanhood. So Shanisha, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to talk with you ladies because this is a conversation that I never have. This is a conversation, to be quite frank, that a lot of my friends and I don't really talk about. And we are very much like, we'll put anything on the plate or on the table. But for some reason, periods very rarely come up in conversation. So I'm excited for us to just kind of dive into it, remove some of the stigma and get into the nitty gritty. Shanisha, you actually host an annual period drive. And you focus on educating women on their periods and how it's a part of femininity and something that should be embraced, right?
Yeah. So every February we have an event called the Period Party and the Menstrual Drive. The Period Party is an educational celebration around your menstrual cycle. And it's actually for young girls and grown women alike. So it's an all-day conference. Pre-COVID, we were definitely like meeting up out in these streets, but right now we're virtual, which has been, you know, its own struggle, but here we are. But the good thing about it was that it allowed more people to show up than it ever has before. And so we discussed things about, for the young girls, like their bodies and what are the changes that are happening and, you know, how do I take care of myself? How do I clean myself? Right. And then for the older women, we talk about their regularities when it comes to menstrual cycles and if they're trying to get pregnant or their sexual health overall. In conjunction with that, we do the menstrual drive where we collect tampons, pads, and menstrual cups for women's homeless shelters or domestic violence shelters. And this past February, we collected over 3,000 items and we distributed them in Georgia, Texas, California, Denver, and Florida. And wow, we've been doing that now for, this will be our fourth year this February.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's so dope. And so important too. Of course. Absolutely. Janelle, you focus on educating women from the medical standpoint of what's normal for a period versus when it's time to seek help, which I love because I feel like so often we're just like in silence on Google and WebMD trying to figure out if we need to go see a doctor. So to normalize those conversations is so crucial. And you also focus on sexual health and understanding the changes that, our bodies go through, right?
Definitely, definitely. So I use my platform and it's birthed out of my experience. Like I worked in clinics with young women who really didn't know a lot about their body, the expected changes with their body. They didn't really know about their periods. They didn't know about sexual health. They didn't realize when they had an STI. They didn't realize that, you know, bleeding for months on months on months was not a normal thing. So I've just used my platforms to kind of normalize those conversations, kind of let people know, hey, this is what's normal. If, you know, you're experiencing these symptoms, definitely seek additional help. So yeah, I love educating. I love the people in my DMs asking me questions. I just had somebody send me a question recently just about lubes, like what kind of lube should I use, you know? So these conversations are definitely happening and I'm glad they're in like an open forum so that we can talk about them finally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wait, now I have to ask you, what's your lube recommendation?
I love the one by Honey Pot. They have
Aloe's Faith.
Yeah, Aloe's Faith, and then they have Honey Pot has one that's really good. It's like designed for vaginal pH, so not to throw anything off. So that one is always my top recommendation. They were out of it for a while, so hopefully they have it back in stock. That's like my definite go to.
Okay,
I have a funny story about the lube.
Okay, give it to us, Shanisha. What's the lube story?
I had a partner. We had one of those neuro pools, and you use the seaweed gel to put in the pool. You know what a neuro pool is, right?
Wait, no, I would be fronting if I said I knew.
It's like a big latex pool, and you.
No, okay. I've never heard of that.
So a neuro pool. It's a big latex pool that you pour seaweed jelly in, and you like rub around on each other, right? And so we bought the pool. We put the seaweed jelly in there that you're supposed to purchase to use. And of course, your whole body's covered in it. And so we did things that adults do. And it caused a very irritating sensation below. And I'm like, if someone came out with like a lube-safe gel for the neuro, they would make a ton of money because It's a lot of fun, but the burn burns.
Ooh. Okay, wait, let me start workshopping that idea so I can make my millions real quick.
Right.
Start figuring out how to fill the void in the lube market.
Let me Google that real quick.
Okay, right. Got it. Right? Let me Google NeuroPool because that sounds fascinating and like an
extra person,
a hobby I might need to get
Thank
into.
Thank you later.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you later.
I will. Okay. Well, let's bench the lube talk for now so we can get into the period talk. Okay, let's dive all the way in, no pun intended. I want to start off with the very beginning. I want each of you to share your first encounter ever with your period. Were you prepared for it? Was it confusing? How did it go down? Shanisha, let's kick it off with you.
I started my period when I was 12 years old and I was playing Grand Theft Auto with my stepbrother. And I don't have like any strong memories of having the period conversation with my mother, but it must have been there because I remember getting up and just going to be like, hey, mom, I started my period. And I called her mom. I'm from the South, right? So I was like, hey, mom. She hated that. I started my period and she hands me a pad and that was that. And so a few months later, and I was 12, so it might have been like another year because I was in high school by the time this happened. A friend of mine gave me one of those little OB tampons. You know, the ones like they came out and they didn't have an applicator. So you just had to like use your finger and push it up there. And my friend's like, you got to try this. Yeah, just, you know, as an adult, I still don't use those. So I don't understand how they ever work without making a mess, but I digress. So my friend gave me one and I went in the bathroom because I wanted to get this thing up there, right? And I'm feeling around and I mean, it's just, it looks like someone's been stabbed. It's awful. And I had to call my aunt to pick me up from school. And that's my period story. Like, that's what I remember when I think about my menstrual cycle as an adolescent. It's not pretty.
Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine, especially because that's the time, that's the age when we're just trying to, like, make sense of it all, fit in, not raise too many flags or stand out for the wrong reasons. And then periods are like, LOL, you thought you were cute today, but this is what we're actually doing. I'm going to realize.
This is what we're going to do today.
Exactly. Janelle, what do you remember about your first experience with your period? Was it good, bad? Were you ready or was it completely out of the blue?
Out of the blue. Although, yeah, so I had the conversation with my mom. I know that she explained it, but I was totally unprepared. I was in the eighth grade. It was like the end of the school year. I just remember having really strong cramps. I'm like, what is going on? So I go to the bathroom. I recognize that, you know, I'd started my period at school. I didn't have any pads. I didn't have any tampons. Mm-hmm. There's no machine. So I did what most people do. I took some toilet paper, wrapped it up in that little ball and stuck it in my underwear to hold me over until I got home. And so, you know, I was definitely not prepared. And like Shanisha, I didn't tell my mom for a couple of months. Like, she had no idea that I had started my period. So it was a couple of months until she recognized that, oh, wait, what's going on here?
Okay, hold up. So we got to dig into that because that is surprising to me. Like, I can't hold water, period, honestly, but like particularly around my mom, but also because she used to like break into my diary and just be in my personal business without my consent. But I love you, mom. Why did you hide? Maybe you didn't hide it, but why didn't you tell your mom for so long that you got your period?
I guess I was super embarrassed. And, you know, I have an older sister, I have older cousins. So it's not like it was new to me, but I was just super embarrassed about it. And, you know, she didn't really discover it until like her stuff came up missing. She's like, what's going on with all my, I know that I'm not using all my pads and tampons. So where are all these things going? And so she had asked me about it and I was like, yeah, I started my period. Yeah. She's like, well, why didn't you tell me that? You know, classic teen answer. I was like, I don't know, mom. I just didn't. So, you know, I'm trying to like, with my own daughter, make sure these conversations are happening often and early so that, you know, we don't run into the same situation again.
Okay. No, that's so good. Like having those conversations early. You're so right. Because it was similar for me. Like the only reason my mom knew is because I was just like, oh God, it's happening. Is it help? Like, you know, otherwise I can't say that I would have sat her down and been like, this is happening in my life. I just needed help because it was going down and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I want to talk about some of the taboo and the stigma around periods, because I completely understand where you're coming from with that, Janelle. You know, so many of us have been taught to or grown up with the idea that we should be ashamed of our bodies or, you know, embarrassed of our periods, or it's not a thing to talk about. I remember years ago, I was probably in my early 20s, and I was, I won't get into specifics, but I was at an adult male friend slash colleague at the time's house. And there were a bunch of women my age. We were all talking and, you know, we were hanging in the house a lot. And he was a married older guy, probably middle-aged. And he overheard us all talking, just girl talk. And I guess we were talking about periods or something. And he goes, my wife, I let her know, like, I don't want to see that stuff. I don't want to see any tampon wrappers. I don't want to see this or that. You better keep that away from here. Keep that away from me. But there was such disgust around. He wasn't talking about, like, you know, the nitty gritty nasty of it, like bloody pads and stuff like that. Like that I get. Who wants? I don't want to see that. I'm just laying around. Mm. But just the concept of a period, he exuded kind of disgust around. And it kind of made me be like, well, good God, do I need to, you know, kind of tuck away anything having to do with my period for the rest of my life? And so I think of him, bizarrely enough, every time I'm like trying to hide all my tampons and pads and all the things. So that's his mark on my life, which is very bizarre. I'm sure he'd be highly disturbed to know that I think of him every time I have a period. But what are your thoughts on that when it comes to the stigma and the taboo around menstrual cycles? Why do we as a society have it? Where do you think that comes from?
So I personally think it's just, it's related. And for me personally, my experience, it's just related to like cleanliness. So, you know, I come from a West Indian family and a lot of stuff is tied to cleanliness and making sure that you're clean and pure. And so I think as a society, you know, we are averse to thinking of women outside of anything that's, you know, dirty, essentially. So a lot of our messaging comes from that. Like even on the tampon or the pad commercials, like they don't use red colored food coloring, they use blue, right? Because nobody wants to see red food coloring on a pad, even though that's what happens. So a lot of the messaging that we get is that, you know, this is dirty, this is something that should be tucked away, something we shouldn't talk about in public. Yeah. So, I mean, that's my personal belief and thoughts.
Yeah.
I literally never thought about the fact that they use blue instead of red.
Blue. Yeah. Isn't that wild? I didn't think about it either until this moment. Yeah, I'm like, oh, dang. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think with the husband, though, it's like it's blood, and it's kind of related to what Janelle said about cleanliness. It's kind of like we're taught that things that happen around our menstrual cycle stays a secret, or stays private, rather. And maybe we've confused private with secret and made it taboo. And I said this earlier about it's interesting when it comes to men, because I think it really depends on the type of man. And here in Atlanta, I've always been drawn to the more spiritual, you know, they read the moon and the stars kind of man. And so they've actually known more about my menstrual cycle than I have, because they're like, you know, let's make sure you're synced up with the moon. And this means that your chakras are balanced and, you know, all these different things. And, I've had men that literally I've been dating them and he knew when I would be late for my cycle. Like, hey, your period's supposed to be on, right? Why is it not? Wow. This also means that you're not pregnant. So these are things that they keep up with. So I will say when it comes to relationships, I've never really dated a man that's just been like super turned off. I had a Jamaican boyfriend and he wasn't a play in the blood. But I mean, for the most part, like, it's actually been like a really comforting time. It massages cramps when you have sex on your period. And so my partners and I have explored many different things with it. So,
yeah. I mean, look, we got to that part of the conversation a little sooner than I was expecting to, but I'm here for it. So I will push the bait. I love that you brought up sex on your periods. And like, obviously there was one guy in your experience who wasn't so into it, but you're right. Like when you think about orgasm and the dopamine hits and just the spike and feel good endorphins and hormones, like that is exactly what we need on our periods. And don't get me started on the fact that now I'm going into TMI.
It's just very connected. About lube. It's sticky though. It's not the same. It helps with the cramps. It really does help with the cramps.
It does.
Like,
yes,
sex
does.
On your period eases your cramps. And it, like you said, with all the hormones and the dopamines and all the feelings happening, it takes those tears away, right? And I think that it draws you in closer to your partner. We know we won't even go there. But you know, this the myths around the blood. So
wait, no, I'm gonna make you go there, Shanisha.
Come on, you know, okay, I'm from the south.
What are the myths?
But you could sweaty for a man, put a little blood in there, he'll never leave you. So I'm not saying do that. I'm not saying I've ever done that. You've never heard that, Janelle. You've never heard that
ever.
No.
Are you serious? I just want to say this. I, Shanisha Boswell, I'm not recommending anyone put blood in their partner's spaghetti. But, you know, there's an old myth in that. You know, it's like you want to keep a man, put a little blood in there. And so it is. It's a life force. So when you are getting down on your period, it is connecting. It's like, y'all are sharing. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's intimate.
Yeah.
You don't do that on the first time. You do that after a while.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Note to self, spaghetti's on the menu next week.
No.
I'm kidding.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the differences between like what is quote unquote normal, if there even is such a thing, right? Versus when you should be concerned. Because I also think that's where a lot of the shame comes in. It's like we're over here on Google and WebMD by ourselves trying to figure out, oh my God, is this normal? Is it not? I don't want to bring it up just in case I'm not normal and my friends are side-eyeing me or my partner side-eyeing me. So we can kick this one off with you, Janelle, because you do focus so much on helping women understand what is normal and what is to be concerned about when it comes to their bodies. Break it down for us. When it comes to the period in general, what are the basics of you're good to go? And when should we maybe phone a friend?
So the basics, although like you'll read stuff where your period should come every 28 days, that's not realistic. Most women don't have a period every 28 days. So if you're in the range of anywhere between 21 and 45 days in terms of having a menstrual cycle, that's considered normal. Bleeding, anything up to a week is considered normal as well. Some clots are normal, but you know, if your clots are greater than the size of a quarter, that phone a friend, please phone a friend on that. If you are, you know, have cramps that are like debilitating, you can't get out of bed, you know, you're vomiting, anything like that, please phone a friend. If you have had cycles, normal cycles forever, and then all of a sudden you recognize that your periods are like sporadic, they're not coming on time, that would be definitely cause for concern. So there's certain things that you should definitely look out for. I'm a big advocate for learning your body and learning your cycle so you can recognize when something is wrong.
Mm. Are there certain apps, platforms, journals, or trackers that you recommend we use? I used the Flow app for a little while, but I'm just really bad about being consistent with anything, as my listeners know here on the podcast. I'm very open about that. But is there anything that you recommend we use to kind of get consistent and help understand our flows a little bit better?
Yeah, I'm an app person, so I use like My Period. There's like a Hello Clue, I think. There's the Flow one. I mean, if you are more old school and want to kind of jot it down on paper, you can buy like paper trackers and stuff. I think it's important to know kind of like when, you know, like how often do you get a period? Pay attention. So, you know, if you want to do it old school and just jot it down in a calendar, like, I started on this day, it lasted till this day. So, you know, kind of when you go to a doctor's office and they ask you, like, when was your last period? You can answer that question. It's definitely an indicator of health for women. So it's important to kind of keep track of that so that you know, and you can kind of seek the help and get the proper help that you need when you know, you're having issues.
Absolutely. Shanisha, are there any apps, platforms, tools that you recommend to add on to that?
So I actually use Flow. I am of the group of women who have an abnormal period. My period's all over the place, right? It normally falls, and I'm happy that Janelle pointed out about the average time span being between 21 and 45 days, because I can have a few months in a row where my period's consistent. It's coming on the 22nd or 23rd every month. And then I can have a time where it's on the 15th and then it's not on to the 25th. And then for the last few years, I've missed my period almost every November. I don't have a cycle at all. So I have one in October and then I have one in December. And so I went in for my pap every year and I'm talking to my GYN and I'm asking her, I'm like, is this normal? I'm like, around this time of the year, every year I miss my period. And this has been going on forever. And I mean, literally for like the last 9 or 10 years, it's like clockwork. And so she told me, she was like, it's completely normal as long as it's happening normally. Like, and it seems to have been doing that and you're in good health. Yeah. Everything's coming back fine. So it did a lot for me. So with Flow, I am a tracker, right? I track my period every time. I know when it's coming. I know when I'm ovulating. I used to even go as far as to put in when I was having sex, because Flow allows you to put mm-hmm. like a little heart of love days, so that if you yep. think you're pregnant or you're mm-hmm. trying to get pregnant, you know what's happening. But it helped me because my period is normally about 5 days. When I'm in really great health, it could be 4 days. But with Flow, that was one thing that was messing up my cycle tracker, was because I would start it on the day that it started. And then on the day that I was not really bleeding, I'm like, okay, it's over. But I started letting it run for the full 7 days that they recommend. And that kind of helped me to see how my period was, because as we know, it starts off light pink, it ends a light brown, light pink kind of thing. But you're still on your period from the time you start bleeding to the time you end bleeding. And a lot of us kind of stop counting around that fifth day, but it's still happening those 2 extra days. So if you're not counting those 2 days, you're completely missing your window of opportunity to try to figure out when your period is actually coming on. And you could see something is abnormal. Your body actually is regulated.
Yeah. No, those are really good points. For me, the biggest perk of tracking in the months when I am doing well at staying on top of it is it helps me keep in context my PMS. So for me, and I want to talk about PMS because for the longest, for many years, I didn't deal with it. I didn't really have a lot of symptoms. My period was always very light for many years. It's only in more recent years that it's gotten a little heavier. And it's only in the last few years that I have started to deal with the PMS that I used to only hear about, right? Yeah, it was like my friends would be like, oh, I'm cramping. I'm being a bitch. I don't want to move. I'm depressed. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm about to go to Cedar Point and ride the roller coasters. I'm fine. Like that was me on my period. It just came and it went. And I was the obnoxiously like happy person. Not anymore. I have gotten to the point where I have to stay on it because my PMS will tell me lies about my existence, about what I want for myself. I'm breaking up with everybody, my mama, my daddy, my man, my dog. Like I just, and the issue is I am operating, or I was operating, as if it was true, as if this was just like normal Zuri. And I realized, oh no, things have changed for me. My hormones are getting wacky surging in the week leading up. I deal with apathy. I get super apathetic when I am nearing into my period. And so when I track it, it helps me realize, okay, whatever emotions I'm feeling, whatever thoughts I think are true may not necessarily be true. So let's dial it back. Let's remember the period's probably coming. And on the other side of this, you're going to go back to normal. You'll recalibrate. I would love if you two could speak to that too. Janelle, we can kick it off with you.
Yeah.
Why is it important? Why do you recommend tracking a period, and how can that help us?
Everything that you said, definitely true. And I've noticed that for myself getting older. I'm like, what is going on? Why am I on edge about everything? So I feel, first of all, PMS is real. So there's like physical symptoms, you know, the bloating, the breast tenderness, the cramps leading up to that. And then there's like mental symptoms as well. So you can have the apathy. I get really lethargic. I mean, I'm tired all the time. I feel down and blue. So I think it's important to, like you said, like recognize what your symptoms are and try to take steps to kind of combat that. So like, you know, for me, it's like adding more calcium to my diet to help with, you know, my lethargy. So using more magnesium helps with bloating and breast tenderness. Knowing that I'm not going to make this decision today because I am in the worst of moods and I'm going to just make a rash decision. So, and giving myself that room to just be like, I'm not going to make any decisions. It's okay. I can let it go. I'm going to rest. And I think as I've gotten older, I've become better at that. Like, I'm like, I'm just not going to make any decisions. I'm not going to do any of my regular routine and give myself that grace. So I think it's important to kind of recognize what your symptoms are and give yourself that room to just be for that week, 2 weeks, whatever.
Yeah. That's spot on. And I 100% agree, obviously, with that. Shanisha, what would you add as far as why it's important to track and sort of keep in check what's going on with our bodies?
I want to co-sign on both of you because I was that obnoxious, happy period person in the commercial. Yeah. I never had any symptoms with my menstrual. It was light. It was amazing. I was like, wow, this is great. And then it was like when I hit like 30, it all stopped me. it all quit. And I found myself just extremely emotional. But we talked about this earlier about really knowing our bodies. And a lot of times, and it's not even a lot of times, it's all the time, when you get in sync with what happens with your body and you're able to read your emotions and your feelings, you're able to know when you're ovulating, you're able to know when your period's about to come on, right? And so we talked about this, that time of the month when you're like really hot and heavy and you just want to jump the bones of your partner and your temperature's high and you're just, all you're thinking about all day long is sex. Like, I'm ovulating right now, right? And like 2 days ago, I'm laying on my couch watching TV. And I mean, I can't stop thinking about this wonderful encounter I had a few years ago. I mean, it's like playing in my head. I'm remembering things that I thought I forgot about.
A few years ago, Janisha. I thought she was about to talk about something from like last weekend. She took it back to the 99.
This was one very special night.
Definitely want to remember.
And I mean, I'm like remembering details. I remember how he smelled. I mean, it's just like point. And I'm like, what is happening? And I opened up my Flow app and I was like, oh my God, you're ovulating. Of course you're thinking. And it put things in perspective because I'm like, 2 weeks ago, I wanted to shoot every man that I saw. And guess what? I was actually bloated and about to start my period.
Yeah.
And so it's so funny when you learn your body, you realize as a woman, you are crazy. And you really only have 1 week of normalcy, because if you catch me on Tuesday at the beginning of the month, I want to hug you. And by the end of the month, I'm ready to cut your head off. And all I can blame is my period. And I feel like I have a disability.
Ooh, honestly, it has never been more clear to me. Every woman listening, y'all don't need to listen. Give it to your man. Our men need to, anybody who is in a hetero relationship, heterosexual at least relationship, needs to send it to that heterosexual man who just runs for cover. If you got your lady, then you good. Y'all can get through it together.
Right.
Because I feel like there are so many straight men who are just like, oh my God, I don't deserve this. I gotta run for cover. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Literally. It's pretty bad. Wow. And I mean, it's almost like you can only make the decision one week out of the month. That one normal week. Yeah. It's just one. In the whole 30 days, there's 1 week where you can make logical choices.
I love hearing that, because honestly, I feel better. Like, this is the most I've ever talked about a period with anyone. And I've never felt more normal than hearing other people say, I got about one good week in me per month where I am operating optimally without my hormones doing crazy things to me.
Yeah. It's so my husband looks at me like, what is your deal?
But this is why we should teach men about our period, because like, even in talking about the ex-partner that I had that was like super in tune with my body. So when I would call him and raise hell, he'd be like, oh, you're about to start your period. Like, I can't tell you how many times he said that to me. And it wasn't offensive, because he would sometimes remind me and I'm like, dang, you're right. I am about to start my period. And so it's a good thing. Men should know more about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it certainly helps our partners have more compassion for us in those moments. I remember when I first started dating my guy like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and I was on my period. I was PMSing. We were apart. I was working a long distance somewhere, and I was just like, oh my God, I just feel terrible. I've got these cramps and whatever. And he asked me, well, is there something I can do? Like, when you're on your period, when it's leading up, like, are there certain things that I can do or remember to help make that week easier for you, or help you get on better, or just get out of your way? And I was like, oh my God, is he the one? Like, no man has ever asked me about my period in a way where he was trying to help facilitate or make that week more manageable for me. So it really stood out. So I love hearing you say that, Shanisha, about the partner that you'd had who was so on top of it that it was like, oh, your period's probably starting. And it was an acknowledgement for context instead of an insult. Because what I hate is when a partner is like, are you on your period? Like, don't do
no,
that. I probably am on my period, but that's the wrong time to ask. Shanisha, you created the Period Party and the accompanying menstrual drive. We talked about it a little bit at the start of our conversation, but I'd love for you to just break down a little bit more. What is a period party? How do we celebrate? And what impact did you see that have on your community?
So I have a daughter. She's 8 years old. I started the Period Party back when she was 6. And my daughter and I are super close. And so she's in the bathroom and she sees me on my period. She's like, what is that? And it was like that a dun 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 moment in parenthood. You're like, you tell the truth, mm-hmm. do you make up a lie? Or and that's right. really that came out very blunt, but that's what it would have been a lie. And so I was like, it's a period. Yeah. And so we ended up having this long conversation about what a period was, and it in turn opened up the conversation on the blog. When I was like super active in Black Mom's blog, everything that I talked about would be things that I was actively going through during my parenting journey. And I started having conversations with women and hearing a lot of stories, like even what Janelle said, women saying that they didn't tell their parents, they didn't talk to their mom about this, and they did it on their own for a few months, and how terrifying that must have been in some regard, or shameful. And I wanted to create a celebration around menstrual cycles. And a part of that celebration being for younger girls was just learning that, hey, this is normal. Almost every other girl you know is going to go through this, and this is how you combat it, right? These are things like, I wish someone would have told me in seventh grade to put down the Mountain Dew and the Honey Bun every day at break, because I had a small mountain, structure on my forehead from outbreaks. I didn't realize that this was hormones. And so all of this is just really a way for...
Right, for me, it was the hot Cheetos and the chocolate chip cookies.
No one ever said, hey, Shanisha, maybe you shouldn't eat that because this is going to cause a major outbreak because you're on your period and you're going through puberty. And so that was really what led to the period party, was just like, I really wanted not just young girls, but even grown women. I realized there's still so much stigma around our bodies, right? And to learn to accept this beautiful part of you, this gift, in a way that brings life, that it just does so many wonderful things. It's your life force. It's your life source. So I wanted to create a way to really celebrate that. And so we all wear red. I have a wonderful panel. Janelle has been on the panel twice. And the panel ranges from medical to holistic to self-love and self-worth, because it's all wrapped into you becoming a woman, right? Even at 12, 11, and girls are getting their period early now because of the food that we eat. Yeah. But understanding that this is a beautiful blossoming period in their lives. And so that's really where it came from. And then with the menstrual drive, we have a lot of homeless people in Atlanta. And not saying I don't feel sympathy when I see a homeless man, but when I see a homeless woman, I'm like, that's someone's mother, daughter, sister. This woman also has a menstrual period. And I've been in the bathroom before, and I've seen a woman putting plastic bags in her underwear, right? And the smell and all these things. And so you think about a homeless woman having to choose between food for the day or entry into a shelter, or she's going to buy these $7 box of pads. And homeless women are using t-shirts, socks, plastic bags, trash bags, paper bags, anything they can to combat their period. And now on top of being homeless, you're also dealing with this thing that you can't even imagine the mental ramifications that has on a human to have to experience that. And so that's where the menstrual drive really stemmed from. And it's crazy because when I've donated in the past, I've went to shelters and they're like, no one ever thinks to bring this in, and we're able to donate thousands of pads and tampons and menstrual cups every year. So,
that's awesome.
That one is very near and dear to my heart with my platform.
So, wait, if people want to, if people want to support or find out more about the drive or how they can, support in their local communities, what do you recommend they do?
So, what I always tell people with my personal platform, we host the drive every February. I only do donations in that time frame because I posted pictures. My entire apartment is filled with tampons and pads, and it's crazy. Like, I get all of these donations. And so I only take them during that month. They actually send them in either through Amazon, or they drop them off at one of our local partners that sponsor the drive and set up location boxes. But I always tell women, I'm like, when you go to the store and you buy your box of pads, just pick up two or three more and drop them off at your local shelter in your area. And then for women that are pregnant, we normally find out we're pregnant around 6 to 8 weeks, right? You probably have tampons and pads at home. You're not going to be using them again for at least another year, most likely. Take them to a donation center and just give them to someone there. So everyone's always like, how can I send them to you? And I'm like, well, I'm only accepting them during this time, but you can donate where you're from in your town, and you can be helping someone. So
That's really great. I appreciate you bringing that up because it's not something that we often think about. And mm-hmm. even as much as I care about helping the people around me, volunteering, I do plenty of volunteering, working at homeless shelters and inner city youth, but you don't think about that one very consistent component
right.
when it comes particularly to homeless yeah. women. You're out on the street, but you're not thinking, oh, that woman's having a period every month.
She's having a period on top
even
of
with the
homeless.
Resources that come with privilege. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like yeah. It's such a privileged place for us to be able to even not worry about tampons, pads, whatever it is we have to do to take care of it. And it's still a nuisance. And it's still something mm-hmm. that has to be thought about and strategized around. I can't begin to imagine being out on the street, not having a home, not having comfort. And then on top of that, this thing that comes every single month that requires money, mm-hmm. that requires resources to yeah. manage. So I really appreciate you bringing that up along with ways that we can help in our local communities. We discussed very briefly the idea of like kind of talking about the period with our mm-hmm. children, how we talked about it or didn't with our parents, with our mothers. For those who are wanting to have an open dialogue with their children about periods, and not just the boys, but the boys too. Like everybody needs to understand what's going on. How do you two suggest we go about it?
I mean, I think it's important to just be open and honest. Like kids are curious by nature. My daughter, she started asking questions, you know, when she was a toddler, like they ask a million questions. So I think it's important to just be honest. When they're younger, I think it's actually easier because your responses don't have to go into as much detail. It's like you're providing them with like the basic information. So I think it's important to consistently have these conversations. It shouldn't just be a one-time thing and you answer as best as you can. Sometimes, you know, she catches me off guard and I'm like, well, we can't really have this conversation here, but I'll, you know, get back to it. Like, hey, remember that time that you asked me about this? And so, you know, I use very simple words, simple mm-hmm. terminologies. You know, I have different books to just have the conversation. I want her to feel safe and not like something she should be ashamed of. So we consistently have these conversations. It can feel awkward if you've never done it before, but I think your kids are, you know, they want to know and they're looking to you and they're going to take your word for it. So, and if you don't feel that you can have that conversation, you know, you use the resources, somebody in your family, one of your sisters, one, you know, doctors, somebody will have that conversation with them. So be open, be honest, use age appropriate terminologies and just consistently have these conversations. That's the only way to kind of normalize periods and let them know yeah. that this is nothing they should be ashamed of or anything taboo, so they can continually ask these questions and get the right information. Because if they're not asking you, they're getting it from somewhere, and we want them to have the correct mm-hmm. information so they know when they understand their body.
Exactly.
Shanisha, what would you add to that? And also, do you think it's important to introduce boys to the notion of periods? And if so, why?
Absolutely. So I 100% piggyback with everything that Janelle said. I wrote an article last year for the New York Times called How to Talk to Your Children About Anything. And a big part of that was, as adults, we completely overthink life, mm-hmm. right? We're thinking from our adult brain, and with children, they're thinking from their child brain. And a lot of times we're trying to figure out, how do I talk to my child about this particular thing? And you just leave it open-ended. They'll ask yeah. questions. And sometimes you go in with open-ended questions. And you also learn with your children. So if they ask you something that you don't know, you just Google it. We have YouTube now. Mm-hmm. You can literally find anything on YouTube. My daughter recently, we had a conversation about how babies were born, and I showed her a video of a woman having a vaginal birth. And by the time we finished talking about it, she was like, I'm good. Thank you very much. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
When it comes to our menstrual yeah. cycle, it's not really just a one-time conversation. It's something that you continuously have. And as they get older, it also matures with them. So I said, my daughter's 8 years old. She started puberty probably last year. I saw it initially with the change in our attitude, right? And I said, oh, we're getting ready to embark on puberty. Because what most people don't realize is that children start puberty before they have their period. Breast development mm-hmm. is actually one of the first signs of puberty in mm-hmm. young girls. So period is normally like your menstrual cycle is like your third or fourth step. So the puberty is already happening. And so as you start to see these changes start happening with your children, you just ease into it. You ask open-ended questions. You don't be so quick to react to shut them down, but you say, hey, you know, I noticed you're being a little snappy today. Like, why is your brain telling you to be rude to me? You know, and you kind of break it down like that and open it up. I think with boys, I did a panel talk recently about this topic, and we were talking about why boys should know. And I say this with anything containing or pertaining to women, boys should know because they need to be allies. Mm. If your son is aware of this, and that other little girl that was like me and Janelle in high school starts their menstrual cycle, he's able to be an ally to her and knows that this is normal. And then as he gets older and he becomes sexually active, he needs to understand that a woman's menstrual cycle is directly connected to her getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so the more that he knows about that, we're also training our boys to be what? Mm-hmm. Men that women can be safe
with. Yeah.
So you're raising more boys that are aware, and they're turning out like the men that are like, hey, you're on your period this week. What can I do to help you? And so all of that starts young. We're just learning about these things now. And I always say this, like, I can't wait to see the future generations, because our parents did what they were supposed to do. Yeah. We're doing what we're supposed to do. It gets better and better every generation. And so we're raising Amen. Children that are smarter, that are more empathetic, that just understand each other a lot more. And so boys should always be a part of that conversation as well, because it affects them too.
Before I let you ladies go, I want to kind of sum it up with what we would say to our younger selves about this journey, about this experience. I know for me, what I would tell my younger self about embracing and preparing for my period is really just, there's nothing, one, to be ashamed of. And two, this is natural, it's beautiful, it's necessary. And also encourage my younger self to talk about it with my friends, with my mother. I very much carried the burden, sounds dramatic. It was an annoyance to me, to be quite frank or honest, but it wasn't a burden, but it certainly was something that I didn't think you talked about. And I did feel shame around it because it was just this thing I had to survive or get through every month. I would encourage my younger self to talk about that with my friends instead of hesitating, because I don't want to be the weirdo who's like talking about periods, because that's not a thing we talk about. And it's really, it's amazing like what our bodies can do. And when you remove the superficial, oh my God, that's gross of it all, which is so easy and so lazy, but so often what we've been told about what our bodies do, it is a beautiful thing that we are able to pull off every month.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing that we can pull off every 9 months. I watched a vaginal birth. Shanisha, it's interesting you brought that up. I watched one at like 28 and was like, oh my God. But also, how do we do this? We are amazing. Listen, like, we are literally magic.
Yeah.
And it gives you so much appreciation for what our bodies can do. What would you say to your younger selves when it comes to embracing and preparing for your period? What would you have told that girl, Janelle?
So I would definitely, I echo your sentiments. Don't be ashamed. I would definitely tell myself to ask the right questions, ask the pertinent questions, seek out those people that are going to, you know, guide me through this. Continue to just have these conversations with, you know, my peers, and not be afraid to like, hey guys, we're all going through it. Let's just have a frank conversation about it. So I would definitely be more vocal and advocate for being more vocal about it.
I would speak to the emotional side of my younger self during that time. I think that puberty is such an interesting and tender time for children, because it's the first time they're experiencing emotion. It's the first time they're experiencing their friend, you know, betraying them or losing a boyfriend or whatever the case. And teen suicide is so high because of that, because they've never experienced this. And because they've never experienced it, they've never gotten over it. So they don't realize that it's going to keep happening, right? And that eventually they will get stronger and stronger. And so I had a very rough, like, I want to say like 14 to 15 was like very rough for me, because I was going through so many emotions due to puberty. And I didn't realize that. And so when my heart got broken, when my friend, you know, kissed my boyfriend, I thought I was literally going to die.
Going to die.
And I think even in our community in general, we don't talk about, you know, suicide and how it's a real thing. And so I think the only thing that kept me, and I'm making light of it, but the only thing that kept me from really doing something crazy was because I was like, if I kill myself, I'm going to go to hell. I can't do that. So that's like, what stopped it. But I was like, damn, can't take that route. right, so my faith, my faith saved me, but you know, I can laugh about it now, right? Cry now, laugh later, however that goes. But you know, back then I think I would go back and I would tell myself that all the emotions that I'm feeling are normal and they're going to go away and I will be better. And in 5, 10 mm-hmm. years, I won't even care about what's his name because I really can't remember his name, right? Mm-hmm. So that I think that would be the thing that I would go back. Because the period, like we said before, the menstrual cycle is just a part of puberty. And there's so many other factors that mm-hmm. pertains to our periods that we don't discuss.
Wow. You guys, I have never had so much fun talking about my period and the periods of all around me. So thank you so much for joining me for such an informative and funny conversation. If people want to keep up with you, if they want to reach out to you, be a part of your conversations or communities, where can they find you, Janelle?
So I'm on all social media platforms at The Nurse Note. And I love questions. And if I don't know, I will find somebody who knows. So you can definitely reach out to me.
Awesome. And Shanisha, where can people reach out to you or find you?
For my moms that are listening, you can follow Black Moms Blog. It's Black Moms Blog across all social media platforms and websites. My name is Shanisha Boswell. I'm almost certain there's a spelling somewhere on your screen that you'll be able to see. And you can just type that into Instagram and it's Shanisha Boswell. And all of my other platforms are linked in that bio as well.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much. Cheers to period.
Yay. Yay.
Happy.
Yes.
Whew, that was so much fun. Now I just want to talk about periods all the time. So if you see me out in the streets, I'm sorry in advance. I apologize. I may or may not broach a conversation about yours or my menstrual cycle. So there's that, okay? It's time to start treating our bodies a little nicer, especially during that time of the month. I love that we, through that conversation, helped normalize, selfishly for me, the idea that we can be all the things that we are when we're PMSing. We can get a little moody, we can get a little dramatic, a little extra, and it's okay because we're all dealing with our own versions of that. And I definitely feel better hearing that I'm not the only person who feels completely sane only about 25% of the time in any given month. So shout out to hormones. Thank you again to Janelle and Shanisha for joining me on the podcast this week. And make sure you stay tuned for more episodes every Monday. You can head over to our website, hothappymess.com. Drop us a little voice recording. It could be a review. It could be a question you have for me, for someone in the group chat, for an expert, or you could just say hi and you just might hear yourself, your lovely voice on a future episode of Hot Happy Mess. So head on over to hothappymess.com to do that. And by the way, if you're loving what you're hearing, then tell us because words of affirmation are the love language of the podcast. Okay. It keeps Hot Happy Mess going. So leave us a review. In fact, we've got one from a lovely listener right now at One Laura MX says, okay, next gen Oprah, let's go. I received this title. She says, been rocking with Z since her local news and YouTube days. So much growth. A young Oprah in the making. We love to see it with a little heart emoji. Laura, thank you. I appreciate you. Shout out to Oprah. She is the queen. And we are just trying to manifest that energy all day, every day over here at Hot Happy Mess. So I'm glad you're loving the podcast. If you listening are loving it, then I would so appreciate if you just dropped a quick review. A sentence or two is good on iTunes. It's free. It's the easiest way to support our podcast because we're working to grow, give you more goods. Okay. So if you want to do it, go to Apple Podcasts, type in Hot Happy Mess, scroll down, boom, write a review. If you're a real one, you'll leave 5 stars. Love you. Okay. Don't forget to tell a friend. Share us. Blast us. I'll stop being annoying. I'm done. Until next week. I'll see you next week. I'll talk to you then. Hit me up on Instagram at Zuri Hall or at Hot Happy Mess. In the meantime, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.